ongoing dialogue of the God Journey podcast. Many of us are waking up to God's not a formula to be worked. He's a God who loves us, who has a purpose in the world to redeem it back to himself, who will work good in our lives through the most horrible things that we face.
When we first started this whole podcast thing, you and I were trying to come up with a name. I just remember somehow the whole God Journey thing settled.
And we've had people tell us that was a stupid name.
Those just few words say an awful lot of true things. This isn't my journey. This isn't just my deal, my little story. It's not about me. I am just a supporting actor in a greater drama that isn't about me.
And it blows your mind. Ongoing dialogue of the God Journey podcast.
Well, I'm Brad Cummings.
And I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And here we are for another edition of The God Journey.
Wow, we got the wrong one up last week, you noticed? And,
there was a little, It
took a while for people to recognize.
I think they liked the previous one. I think they liked the previous one so much they just decided to put it up again.
It reminded me, actually, a story I heard of a guy who went to a congregation in England, and he spoke something, and came back about a year later, and felt like impressed to speak on the same exact deal again. So he did exactly the same teaching again. And then the third year he went back and he did it again for the third time. And a guy came up to him after the third time and he said, you know what, I think we've heard this before. And he said, oh yeah, I've heard it two other times, he said. And until you guys start living it, I'm going to keep coming back and sharing the same thing over and over again. So that's what we could do. We sort of rerun podcasts until we're blind or something.
There you go. Hey, I haven't said anything about Chipper for in a long time.
My wife said that this week. She said, I haven't anything about Chipper, and I'm going, good, may rest in peace. But
stop it.
It's
funny. He's been out gallivanting at night. He likes getting out at night.
This is a G-rated podcast.
Yes. Okay. But this is very funny. Our neighbors next door, they have one of those, like, yip-yip dogs. I mean, it's, like, kind of an embarrassment for the whole dog kingdom. And it's like, you just like, well, that's not a dog. That's a yip-yip.
Like,
you
know, a Pekingese or something.
Just little white yip-yip dog.
Yep.
Very irritating and very, very just, you know, cute, whatever, but not a real dog.
Not cute.
And we were trying to figure out where Chipper was, and Chipper was at their back door, at their back screen door, terrorizing this dog. He's just out back where you know, he's totally safe, and the dog would come to the window, and all of a sudden Chipper would go, and their dog would just go nuts. We didn't know that Chipper was having so much fun next door, just terrorizing little cat. I just kind of went, that's funny.
Little Osama the cat, huh?
Osama Chipper was out there terrorizing. It was very funny. He just was.
Have we curtailed this activity, or are we filming it for YouTube, or what?
No, it would make America's funniest videos if we were able to capture it from the inside of the glass thing. It was very funny.
Ah.
So, Chipper's alive and well, and he's doing well, and he's out challenging the dogs in our neighborhood.
Sorry to hear.
Sorry to hear.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Hey, you'll never guess where I went last week.
I have no idea.
Oh, you remember a couple months ago I got invited to this gathering of atheists?
And,
some big school
Way
issue.
At the atheist meeting.
So I joined the atheist meeting just that once. I didn't join them. didn't join the club.
They'd kick you out because you wouldn't be able to pass for very long for an atheist.
So last week I got an email invitation to a pastor's prayer gathering for Ventura County.
Oh, fun.
I have no idea how I got on that list
I've been to enough of those.
I thought that was hilarious. And so as I was having a good laugh
I submitted your name.
I see. Well, I was just, in fact, I had already hit my delete button and it was gone. And then I felt this little nagging nudge that said, back up a little bit. And I, what? And I really felt like...
Jesus sent you to the pastor's meeting.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I had this little nudge, and at this point in my life, I'm learning to follow those little nudges. And because interestingly enough, I think this was part of it. For the past, 3 or 4 weeks, I've kind of had this thing in my heart that there's somebody, a pastor type, who lives fairly close to where I live, that God wants me to walk beside for a bit. And I have no idea who it is. I mean, I have no idea. So I guess when this came, I thought, well, maybe that's a place. I might, you know, I'll find out who's there and mention a guy from Moore Park. So I thought, I don't know, Moore Park, Simi Valley, that's close, so I'll go check it out. So I went to check it out.
And?
I gotta tell you, it reminded me why I don't go to those things. Oh, gosh. At one level, it was just fascinating.
Sociologically, it is fascinating.
Yes, it is.
We're a weird subculture, aren't we?
On the other hand, it's incredibly painful to watch these guys. I mean, I know for a lot of the kind of quote-unquote out-of-the-box crowd who really talks about pastors as the enemy, because they are often the gatekeepers in some pretty, how shall we say it, less-than-free institutions. They're often that. But, gosh, just sitting with them during times of prayer and singing and exalting God and listening to some things that were shared, I just found my heart really breaking for a lot of the guys in that room. Wonderfully sincere guys who really have taken this sincerity and passion for God and are playing it out in this leadership role that I think is abominable. And interestingly enough, the guy that was kind of sharing and kind of coordinating this thing planted 30 years ago, probably, the most, would you say, probably the most coveted institution in the area.
Yeah, the big outward success.
Big building, huge numbers of people, well-known throughout the area, lots of other kinds of services.
And they threw him out.
He got up. They threw him out?
They invited him. They wanted to get a new horse. Yeah, they wanted a new basketball star on the team. And they retired him from his post.
It sent him into a great depression, I guess, and
it did.
Struggle. But he was sharing about it. And what he basically started out by sharing was this. For the 30 years that I did that and planted all that, I had lost touch with the real passion in my heart, which is helping people know Jesus. And I lost touch with him myself. I mean, chasing budgets, chasing programs, doing all the things that were expected of me. And, I mean, he starts out with about 10 minutes of this pretty gut-wrenching tale of the thing everybody's coveting in this valley is the thing that killed me spiritually. I thought, well, bravo, hear, hear.
Thank you, Jesus, for sending me to the pastor's meeting.
I'll toast that. And then you can't believe how quickly they pulled out the duct tape and, you know, pulled all that thing together. It was amazing.
What do you mean they pulled out the duct tape?
Well, you know, every time there's a rift in the illusion of this thing we call church, that is most of our Sunday morning establishments in one way or another, and you see through a crack in it, you know. I think the Haggard thing a couple weeks ago is a rip in that. And what we really want to believe is that's one bad apple. It has nothing to do with the barrel. And so, it's a little rip in the curtain, and then somebody plasters duct tape on it. Don't be looking through there. Don't. Things are fine. And I
pass me the duct tape, quick. There's a tear.
And I felt exactly the way. Here's this very honest, vulnerable moment.
Yeah, that won't last long.
No, and then it slides into, but you guys, I know you can do it better than I did it. And here's the thing, you can actually save your program.
Here's another program. You're kidding.
No.
This whole thing that you all covet was a failure and estranged me from Jesus.
Yeah,
but you can do it better?
But
that was the message?
Oh, you're the pastors. You're the leaders. You're the ones God's using in this area. I'm like, okay, whoa. And so I was slapping people down that were pulling out duct tape. I'm like, put that duct tape down. Let's talk. But they did it pretty well. We actually had a small prayer time where I was with one of the brothers, and he was just really sharing that his whole life is in conflict between that which he feels like Jesus called him to do and that he has to do to keep the institution running and to keep the board happy and to keep the salary coming. And that was a pretty common theme because they encourage people just, you know, kind of open up. Don't let what happened to Haggard happen to you because, you know, he wasn't sharing with anybody. So share honestly where you're struggling with. And room full of strangers and competitors. These guys are going to share. And they didn't really, but a little. One group I was in, one guy opened up a bit. And I just thought, you know, here's an interesting deal. Because now we almost said it. We almost said, look, this thing is worthless. But we keep doing it. And so I talked to a few folks. There's some other folks there I wanted to meet, so I met them a little bit. And then the room was kind of thinning down as we were done. And I just turned to walk out, and I turn from this conversation that just ended, turn around, and I'm 2 feet from the guy who did all the sharing. And so I introduced myself to him and told him we'd met a couple years before. And the good friends of Brad, you know everybody.
I know everybody.
Told him I knew you, and he looks concerned when I said that. But I'm kidding. But I looked at him, and I actually said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, what? The whole first bit of this, wasn't it about this ultimate institution in the county? Didn't work. Isn't working, is just a social club to entertain groups of people, I'll be with a little Jesus chaser on the side, and you know, destroyed your relationship with Jesus, destroyed your passion for his mission in the world. Why are we not telling all these guys, hey, let's disband them and just be the body of Christ in the area?
And he glazed over.
No, he didn't actually glaze over, but you could see him kind of reaching for the duct tape. I mean, he was, what? And I said, yeah, I mean, really, you said this thing almost, this is, every guy in this room covets what you had. You just told them it didn't work for you and it's not working for the people that are there. So how is it that you're just going to tell these guys, you can do it better. You can just add this program to all that stuff.
Well,
and you'll get there.
It's right there. It is because he had to support the Hamburger Helper, the program. They got to have a new thing to do.
Always.
He's been retired. Now he's reignited his passion. But as opposed to just walking that in the context of a relationship,
he's got another program.
He's got another it. And yep. You got to then promote it, that.
Yep.
And so it's right back with a better mousetrap, not recognizing that you're doing the same old deal. It's another lap around the mountain.
And then I asked him this. I said, you know, we deal with people not sharing their faith, which is what it was all about. Do you think if people had a real relationship with Jesus every day, do you think they could help themselves from not sharing? I mean, do you really think it's possible? Could the larger problem be that people have no idea who Jesus is? And what you're asking them to do is market something called Christianity, and no one likes selling it. It's pretty boring. It's not fun. It's not. And he said, you know what? You might be right. So I gave him my card, and I said, I'd love to have lunch with you someday. He goes, I'm a pretty busy guy. I said, I'm a busy guy, too. So I travel a lot. I said, travel a lot, too.
See,
so if we're in town on the same day, though, might be a Jesus event.
I'm thinking I understand now why I brought up the whole chipper thing. There you are at the pastor's reading like a little cat just whipping up the Union dogs.
Yeah, only one of them. I only whipped up one of them, but I guess that's what chipper would
do. You're out there terrorizing the pastors. I love it. Good job,
wow.
Wade.
Wow. Well, actually, I met some that I'm really going to pursue some relationship with. I'm really kind of interested in knowing, because what I had on my heart is there somebody around here that's where I was about 20 years ago, trying to make it work.
Oh, there's not just somebody.
Knowing
you know what? I think virtually anybody with some measure of responsibility that is leading a group of something, and they genuinely want to follow Jesus, and yet they're stuck in an institution. I'll guarantee you, they're all struggling with the dynamics of going like, what, this, you know? Because the reason they're there, I've got to assume, is the genuine passion for Christ. That's what ignited their heart. That's why they are wanting to go after this. I mean, sure, it can be
Or it's
mixed.
The I don't want to burn in hell thing.
Yeah, but I don't,
be poking the dog
that
again.
Gas doesn't last that long. And
that what doesn't last?
That gas. If that's the gas in
the
your
fuel.
Tank.
Okay, got
the
it.
Fuel doesn't work.
Words we've used on this podcast before probably is, and I've used it a lot with people, because I get calls from people that just are disillusioned with God and the church. And
uh-huh.
We've kind of turned that word around, I have, to say, you know, an illusion. If you're disillusioned, that means you had an illusion that needed to be dissed.
Yeah.
And this poor guy, he had an illusion about his congregation that got dissed. Now,
yeah, he got dissed.
What do you do with that? Do you pull the duct tape out and rebuild the illusion? And I think we're really, really good at that. There's so many ways that we just say the institution that Christianity, the religion that Christianity has become in the 21st century is a long ways away from what Jesus came to give us as life in him. It's a long ways away from that. And there are moments when people see through those illusions, and clearly it's not working. And then we have a choice, I think. We have a choice. I like the expression, which we talk about making T-shirts someday that say, gratefully disillusioned.
Yep.
Because that's the way I feel. I feel like, man, and I'm disillusioned about a lot of things. It's not just religion and Christianity as religion. It's politics in our culture. It's the financial way our world works and capitalism being such a gift of God. There's a lot of things I'm disillusioned about. And learning the joy of living, and I think I'm a long ways from it still, but at least in an increasing way, illusion-free. I just want to live with things the way they really are, not trying to pretend it's something it's not. And I think we've been very good at that.
Yeah, and I think folks that have been in leadership positions within that whole context, you spent so much time in the mindset that, you know, this institution that I'm promoting is really the representation of Jesus Christ. And then when all of a sudden you start to step back and you recognize this institution, this thing that I'm promoting, is not necessarily a very good or accurate. It, what's really hard is to all of a sudden step back and recognize when the lights come on and you're like, wait, this is not that. The disconnect that happens for so many people is, well, now what?
Yep.
And they don't know what to do. And so it's like, if someone has duct tape and they, you know, they offer it, that tends to be the reflex of choice where you're just going like, well, oh, but, you know, I can't conclude that. That's too extreme because they don't know something else. They don't have an alternative in their idea. It's the whole Matrix thing. It's like, you know, once you've had the red pill,
yeah,
and you've experienced the desert of the real, you might want to go back. But how do you go back? And it's like, you know, for a lot of people, they go like, is there a blue pill? Can I take a blue pill? Can I go back and just be happy? And it's like, I don't know how. I don't know how to swallow that thing. I can't.
Well, maybe there are two steps to this. On the one side, there is that moment of disillusioning, which is...
If you survive that...
Of itself isn't enough, though. If I'm just disillusioned with something, it's not enough. If in my disillusionment, I start to come to grips with the real. I start to come to grips with who God really is and who the Church of Jesus Christ is in the world today. And something alive begins to flow through these veins that didn't exist when I was in my illusion. I think that's the other piece of it that some people, quite frankly, miss. Those who don't miss it, who really discover what it is to live deeply in God's life in a growing way, boy, they're not going to be drugged back to the illusion for anything. In fact, the duct tape is just not even
work.
A temptation.
Yeah, doesn't work.
Because who wants to live in what isn't real? Who wants to keep pretending? Who wants to keep... Because I think illusions take an awful lot of effort to sustain.
They do.
Because it's obvious to everybody. My goodness, even when I was pastoring and championing the deal I was in, you could hear from other people, and those were the naysayers, and those are the people that don't get it. They're not deeply committed to Jesus
they're
enough.
They're just being critical.
There's ways to jump all, or bitter. Bitter's a good word.
Yeah, just bitter. A hint of bitterness.
And watch it. And, you know, when you see that kind of thing, then you got to bolster it back up again so we all are going, yeah, it's good. And I sensed that was going on in this poor pastor's meeting, that everybody seeing through it. There was life in what he was saying about this didn't work for me, and it separated me from my vision. Now, let's play that out. Hey, I got a fix for this. I got a better way to do it. And you just look at it and go, oh, boy, duct tape. It's got duct tape written all over it, and everybody's pulling it out. We're going to piece the thing back together.
But that is such a that moment where that crossroads, that is a terrifying place. That really is for a lot of people, because it's one thing to be able to look back and go like, okay, you know, I've walked through the tunnel and I've emerged on the other side and I'm enjoying the relationship that I was hungering for in the first place.
Yep.
It's one thing to be in that spot. It's another to all of a sudden go like, wait a minute, this is what I thought this was and now I recognize that it's not. But if you really haven't had the kind of life-altering encounter with the man, the person,
yep,
Jesus Christ. And so it's like, wait a minute, this is about a person. This is about a friend. This is about, you know, him, as opposed to all the paraphernalia that we've slapped his name on.
Yep.
Until that comes clear, and until that relationship has really taken priority in your heart, you are in a wrestling match of going like, but, you know, give up what's behind door number one to what? A cliff?
Yeah. The donkey behind door number two. I think that is the challenge. Obviously it is, because people say, I don't know what else is there. And I think what we've done well with the whole Christianity as religion is it gives us some sense of control and security and certainty in traditions or programs that are consistent over time, even if they're dead. They're here every week, and if you do your part, God's going to do his part. It fits that mold of we're doing something we control.
Uh-huh.
And when you start seeing through all that, part of pushing away from the control is, am I going to go on this ride of uncertainty? I've told this story before in an article I wrote in Body Life, but a week before my daughter got married 5 years ago, she asked if she could spend a day with me. We go kayaking out on the harbor.
Uh-huh.
And who wouldn't? I mean, gosh, the week before your daughter's getting married and father-daughter day. So we went down, rented kayaks, and I haven't kayaked ever. So I got this kayak on the. I'm holding on to the dock. And I signed this kayak.
Don't let go of the dock.
Have you ever been in one of those?
Don't let go of the dock.
You ever been in one of those?
Yeah. Don't let go of the dock.
I was quivering like a bowl full of jello. And I'm going, I will never get this. And the guy looks at me and said, just shove off. You'll be fine. Because I was so balancing so quick, it was just gibbering, jabbering. And I really sat there and said, I've got to decide. I'm either going to push away from this thing and enjoy a day with my daughter, or I'm going to crawl right back out of it and say, you know what, Julie, let's go out to lunch. And at the moment, I thought, you know, even if I roll over and get wet, I'd rather risk the day with my daughter than lose it. And so I just pushed away from the dock. And within 2 or 3 seconds, it just kind of evened out, and I was fine, and, you know, I never had that quivery thing again. We rode around the whole harbor.
I think, you know, I'm not some expert on kayaking at all, but I think it's analogous to the whole dynamic. You cannot live in, quote, a dock system where there's boundaries and hard things and all that other stuff and try to, you know, go in the ocean. Those are two totally separate deals. And when you're trying to hold on to one while you still are in the other, it doesn't work. It's terrifying.
Particularly because one's immovable.
Yep.
And the other's moving.
Yeah, the other's fluid.
And if you let go of the dock, now you're riding with the water.
Yeah,
it's not competing against the dock.
There's a new equilibrium that works in that environment.
Yep.
That is antithetical to the other one. They're different. They don't work that way.
But is it riskier? Being on a kayak in the middle of a shipping channel versus sitting on a dock in a leisure.
Sure,
absolutely.
Sure.
That was the decision Nicodemus was facing, I think, when he's talking to Jesus about this whole thing. And he's got it all figured out. He's got his whole religious construct for his life. And Jesus is saying, this is where the born-again thing. It wasn't about, you know, be born again, say a sinner's prayer, get baptized, go forward in church somewhere.
Yeah.
He was just
put
saying,
on our jersey, be one of us.
You've got to start all over. You got this construct that is not serving you well. You really do have to become like a little child and relearn a way of living that isn't about control and rules and regulations. It's more about nudges. It's more about this wind of the Spirit that blows. And he says, you know, the Spirit's like a wind. It comes and it goes. You don't know where it came from or where it's going. And at the end of the day, he says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He really talks it. You're entering a bit of a journey that's, it doesn't have its security in things. It doesn't have predictability. In fact, it's very flexible. It doesn't live by rules. It doesn't live by tradition. It doesn't live by things that we've learned to find our security in. And I remember starting this, and it was more than 2 or 3 seconds that I was doing this jello thing on this bit of the journey. It was very disorienting for a very long time. But I just kept saying, you know what, this is what I want to live. I want to learn how to live this way. And it changed everything for me. I mean, financially, to spiritually, to reputation and what other people are thinking of you. And I just think that's...
You have to let go of all that.
And so it's not just being disillusioned.
No,
now it means
no, no.
In my disillusionment, I got a choice.
Yeah.
I can let go of it and take the wildness of the adventure that I can't control. Or pull out the duct tape and tape me to the dock because I'm not leaving. And this may not be, and I've heard this so often, people, this may not be all that Jesus said, but I've decided it's good enough for me. That's what I've heard so many people say about our religious constructs. And really, they just don't know who he is.
You know, I do think that there's folks that get disillusioned, But as opposed to, quote, letting go of the dock, it's like they live in reaction to it. It's like then they are kind of bitter and critical towards the system. And everything is really seen in light, not as opposed to this person that I'm on a new adventure with.
Right.
But I'm living in reaction. And so, you know, again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but a lot of the talk about, you know, out of the box and all this, it's like it's still always connected to the box. They're living in connection to the out of the box. It's like it has nothing to do with the box.
There is no
there
box.
There is no box. If you're related to the box, it's the wrong focus. It's you're related to the person.
Even if you're related to the reaction to the box, that's what
yeah,
you're saying.
It's like there is a life. There is a life in Christ that has nothing to do with the trappings of religion. Has nothing to do with the box and the system, in the system, out of the system, in the box, out of the box. It's
a whole
different life.
We're reminded every day because the construct of the box is so permeates our dialogue and discussion about God and church and life.
Yeah, they've been equated.
They have. And so that's people who aren't in get an identity as not being in, whether you want it or not. Uh-huh. I mean, people kind of put that on you. And I think what you're saying, which
new movements, new stuff that's all related to the, reacting to the box.
Yeah, which I love what you're saying is that this really gets back to, again, the little child. Let's get back to saying, Jesus, teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to live in you. Teach me how to think like you think. Teach me how to live in the danger of the uncertainty of God rather than getting a religion substitute for the God thing in my life. And I tell you, this is what people are scared of because we've always been, and I think people have helped us be scared. You can't do that. You're going to find Jim Jones out there. He's serving Kool-Aid with cyanide in it. You got to take the one bad example and say, that's it. You're not, and that was really a box, wasn't it? It wasn't a lack of a box. That was a box. I think we've got to get beyond the disillusionment, get beyond the uncertainty, because people, it's there. It's going to be disorienting for a while. Absolutely is. And you're going to feel like, man, I'm the only person within 7,000 miles of here that thinks this way. But you're not, because God's inviting a whole lot of folks to just come live in me. Do whatever I've asked you to do. Be wherever I've asked you to be, and get the focus of not trying to sort out the structures or lack of structures, but get used to what it is to live in him and know him.
And that's a totally, is it always clear, Wayne? Is it easy? Is every day kind of, you just sort of have your few minutes check in with Jesus and it's clear what you're going to do?
My question is it ever clear?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Is it ever?
It's
not.
I do think that, you know, it's a challenge when you're going like, gosh, it would be nice to have some sort of external grasp of security. There's moments where I'm just going like, gosh, it would be nice to have some measure of stability and some sort of guarantee that things are going to be fine. And I think we do have that. I think it's called a person Jesus. But that's a little bit intangible.
Not even a little bit.
It's a lot intangible.
It's a lot of bit.
And I do think that, you know, trying to follow him, it's like there's no exact science. You can't do it by principles alone. It is a relationship, and he wants that. But sometimes you're just going like, Lord, it feels like you're on the backside of Pluto, and I'm lost here. And I do know you, and I do love you, and I am following you, but I'm lost. I don't know exactly what to do right now. And I think you have moments of that, you know, someone's there. You want the blue pill again? You want the blue pill? You're just going like, sometimes my step of faith in that moment is I'm not going back. Right now I'm not retreating. I'm not exactly sure how to take the step forward. I'm not sure if it's a cliff or if it's utter darkness or if right around the corner it's breakthrough. I don't know.
Yep.
But I am committed to Jesus. I'm following you. And if I've lost you, I've lost you. But I don't think you've lost me. That is where my security comes from.
Absolutely. It's not security isn't coming from, okay, I've got this all figured out. I know where the next 6 months of whatever is. It really is, no, I know him. And I'd rather be lost with him than in a rigid system without him. And I don't even mean just a Sunday morning system. I'm just talking about even a system of theology and thought and You know, I used to feel all that disorientation and conflict, and oh, I wish I had something more secure, and I'm willing to go here with you, Jesus. And I used to be all of it. And I tell you, I haven't had that thought in 4 or 5 years. I really just, in fact, when things get too secure, and some days they do, and I'm going, okay, something's got to change. Because I'm not used to this. I'd rather be in the danger of, I don't know what God's doing. If he wants me to go to a pastor's meeting, I'll go. And I don't know what kind of conversations I'll get into, or trouble, or just shut up and pray for him. I mean, I have no idea, but I'm willing to go because I care, and I want to find out more about whatever it is that he's kind of got me working on. And to me, that's the joy of it. The joy is in the uncertainty because he's there, and all the false certainty, and I guess that's what it is. All the certainties I had in the past were false.
They are.
They're like this guy said, 30 years, did this, didn't help. I'm okay, now I didn't do 30. I got to tell you, I did 15. And in the end, you're going, no, same thing he was saying would have been true for me. Somehow this took all the passion out of my relationship and out of my mission in the world. And what I was paid to do was very different from what I felt Jesus was asking me to do with people. And yeah, I wouldn't go back to that. I'm not even tempted to go back to that. If I never find another dock, I'm going to be okay, man. Because
once you start kayaking, and once you get over your little moment of, once equilibrium reestablishes itself in a new life, in a whole new vein, you don't want to go back.
Yep.
That's the challenge. And for anyone that's struggling out there going like, okay, there's my curtain's been ripped. I can see through. I know there's a life out there. My biggest wish and desire for you is that keep going. Don't grab the duct tape.
Yeah, don't settle
for something.
Put the duct tape.
Yeah.
Put it down.
Put it down.
Lock it in the garage. I got this letter a couple months ago. And we haven't got to it yet. There's some other things on here we'll get to someday. But she talks about, this woman writes, and talks about just reading the board minutes, B-O-A-R-D, from the local fellowship, because her husband is a board, B-O-R-E-D, member. He's a board. And it says, it speaks of our numbers have plateaued. God preparing us for something big. And maybe we should buy a building when our lease is up. And all that makes my heart just sick. These age-segregated programs are starting to crop up. I'll admit, started by people in the fellowship, not the leadership, but still. We have several critically ill, many broken-hearted single moms, struggling marriages, etc. We're already walking through the big stuff. I can't handle more people. Why do we have to run this like a business? When are we going to have time to start taking care of people? I love this whole idea about, no, numbers have plateaued. Now I got to build something bigger. We got to do something. And the whole idea is, okay, here's the illusion. This isn't working. Because if it were working, if lives were being transformed, you don't have to talk about numbers plateauing. You don't have to do all that stuff.
All that's managed spirituality. And I think when you sort of assign the task of managing yours and other people's spirituality, you have exited stage left from the life that Christ has invited. I'm not responsible for your spirituality.
But here's
I love you as a friend and a brother. I'll walk with you. But it's not my job to make you a Christian.
No. But here's the duct tape. There's something big coming. You know, and how much of that coming,
just hold on, brother.
Coming revival, just around the corner. Yeah, who's to say?
Pray
it's
the price.
Darkest before the dawn, and all the stuff that says, don't really look at what we're looking at here. Let's just get the duct tape out, put it up on the deal.
Yeah, the big tsunami's coming.
Draw Jesus' face on the duct tape. We're good. And I think what I want to say to folks, if you're being disillusioned, go ahead.
That's good.
Let it happen. Find the real in the midst of it. Don't just be angry at where you've been lied to and tricked and suckered into whatever, and because you were all part of that too. But step back and say, Jesus, now I really want to walk with you. I don't want to pull my duct tape out and fix that whole curtain. I want to go ahead and look through it. And now help me know you as you really are. And help me know the Church of Jesus Christ in the world as she really is. And that's just great freedom in that.
Yeah, there is no box.
Thank you for traveling with us on The God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,